Retro Nerd. Welcome to the greatest hits of Previously on Lost. This is episode 69, and we are talking about not our greatest hits, though there are many, but we are talking about Charlie's top five greatest moments of his entire life, and we'll talk about every single one of them here on this episode. I am Mike, and I have with me two other co-hosts who just cannot wait to talk about the greatest hits, Corey and Steven. How are you two doing?
Good. Is this the greatest hits of our podcast?
We have best. One great hit on our podcast, so I don't know.
I think that's our golden night to make this one of our top five best podcasts.
Must listen to episodes. Absolutely.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if we use Charlie's rating system, I mean, I feel like. No offense, Charlie, but some of these greatest hits were kind of a low bar.
Kind of lame greatest hits there, bud. Oh.
Greatest moments in life thrown in the water.
But it was good. We're looking forward to it, and we are Previously Lost. We are part of the Retro Zap Network, and we look forward to you joining and listening to all the other Retro Zap podcasts that we have. So. Join us, find us on social media, join us on Discord. It will be wonderful. This is the penultimate episode. The next time we record, we are going to be, just kind of give you a heads up, we are going to be recording the season finale. We know it is a two-parter, so we will be recording the two parts all in one episode. We're not going to do part one as episode and part two of an episode, but we will be having, it will be a one episode covering both parts, and we will have a special guest on with us. On the episode, somebody who has been requesting this episode for so long wants this episode, so we're going to let him have this episode with us. So just kind of give you guys a little bit heads up on that when we do record next. All right. So with it being said, Corey, let's talk about the greatest hits. Tell us a little bit. I think you did this last time, but that's okay. We'll let you do it again.
I would love to do it.
I didn't change the name. So go for it. What's the summary about this episode?
Okay. So season 3, episode 21, penultimate episode of season 3, as we said, aired May 16th, 2007. Wow, that was, what is that, 15 years ago almost? Yeah. 15 years in, like, whatever, a week. Wow. It's crazy. We're old. Directed by Steven. We're not old. We're millennials.
Legendary.
Directed by Steven Williams. Written by Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz. And the summary is as follows. The beach camp is preparing to receive the others under Jack's leadership. By receive, they mean like blow the crap out of them. Jack makes contact with Rousseau to help them fend off a planned assault by the others. Sawyer, Jin, and Bernard agree to stay behind to ambush the others with dynamite, TNT, some explosives, when the others arrive that night. They will arrive, yes. However, to make contact with Naomi's freighter, they need to go to the radio tower in order to, cut the message and send their own message to Naomi's boat. And kind of burying the lead here, but Desmond has another flash about Charlie's death. And this is a key moment to rescue them. And it involves a blinking light. And also, Charlie recalls the five most important events in his life by writing them down as his own greatest hits. So, yes.
Nice.
Good stuff.
All right. Tell us a little bit of some facts about this one, Steven.
All right. Well, the two actors who played the younger versions of Liam and Charlie are actually brothers in real life, Zach Shatta and Jeremy Shatta. They are actually brothers.
Nice.
In the moment when Desmond and Charlie are prepared to go to the station, we see in the background the unfinished church that Mr. Echo built.
Yeah.
This is the first episode of season three in which Bernard and Rose appear. Has it been that long?
Wow.
That's horrible.
It's been a long time. They were busy sending their notebooks to Dharma, because we all know they worked for Dharma.
I mean, what are they doing? Are they like
building out a home. Vincent? Building a home together.
In Charlie's fourth greatest hit, young Charlie is about to jump in the pool when a voice from a little boy could be heard in the background saying, "Desmond, come on." This began a theory that Desmond is in Charlie's past, not including the Flash and flashes before your eyes.
Mm.
That's pretty interesting.
Possible. I mean, they don't grow up. He's from what, Scotland, right? And he's
from Britain. Yeah. I mean, not terribly far from one another.
I mean, it's the same island, but
right.
Charlie's a Manc. Now a Mancurian.
Yep. Okay.
So, we've been on this island for 90 days now. Previously on Lost, Desmond has had multiple visions of Charlie dying. After repeatedly trying to save him, concludes his death is inevitable. Vis-a-vis, watch Final Destination. Kate tells Jack that Naomi's ship is 80 nautical miles away from the island. Using the satellite phone, she hopes to contact the ship and get them rescued. Jack asks why nobody told him. Kate replies, "We don't trust you." Everyone questions Jack and Juliet about Juliet's tape. She reveals that she has already told Jack about it, and they were still thinking of a plan. All right. I guess the only thing to really do to discuss this episode is to talk about the greatest hits. I mean, Gordon, there's some things happen on the island, too, but I say we just talk about the flashbacks, the greatest hits. So
I wanted to say something kind of more broad first, real quickly. I mean, this is an interesting episode being, you know, it's like the penultimate episode. And I think that we were all saying, you know, a couple of you were saying before we started recording that, you know, like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't love this episode as much as other people do. This episode is funny because I think a lot of people forget and think that Charlie dies in this episode, but it's the next episode. Spoiler alert. And a lot of people who really love Charlie love this episode because it's kind of like his, you know, it's his final episode, his final goodbye. I used to not think quite as highly, possibly just to do the thing like, oh, everybody loves this episode that much. It's like, it's not that great. I think it's a really good episode. It does what this episode does so well, maybe less than the flashbacks. We'll talk about that, but more just a really good job of setting up the finale. And we've been talking about this the last five or so episodes, the way this season starts to really build the steam late, it makes kind of like a sprint to the finish. That is why the end of the season is really good. Because it doesn't, you know, season two kind of like drags out the end, in my opinion. Sorry, Steven. This one really just like charges to the end. And I think that a tendency of many penultimate episodes in Lost is to have like so many things going on that the episode doesn't feel like it's like that great or like a story on its own. But I think this is a really good penultimate episode, in my opinion. And notable thing, we didn't bring it up, but maybe not technically because we do get some other flashbacks, but this is really the end of the flashback. This is...
Yeah.
Because after this, we get flash forwards, and then, you know, we may get a couple mini flashbacks here and there throughout the next
sideways few seasons. And then, yep.
But really, the flashbacks are mostly done after this. Like I said, we'll get a couple. And this is definitely the last of one of our main original crashed survivors. And I think you could see they're kind of running out of stuff. I mean, this is a good, it's a heartfelt episode. And honestly, I don't think the flashbacks are a huge time consumer. They're like pretty quick in this episode. It's just like a couple little scenes. But... having said that, you know, I mean, what do you guys think? I'll let you guys take.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent episode. I mean, it isn't one of my favorites in my ratings. I think we'll show that it's not one of my favorite episodes. I do think, you know, I like some a little bit more, but it's not a bad one. It's just not one of my favorites.
I really like this episode. I feel like it kind of like season one, where this kind of feels like part of the finale to me. I know you made a good. It does kind of stand on its own, all right, but it kind of gets everything rolling to the finale. So, I mean, just based on everything happening on the island, I feel like it was a very good episode. Yeah, the flashbacks, I mean, they have a good moment, some good moments. They are a good send-off to Charlie. But, yeah, I mean, we're not learning a lot new in the flashbacks, but I feel like the strength here is definitely in the on-island stuff that we will get to. So, I don't know, do we want to talk about the greatest hit? Should we just take it one hit at a time real quick? And
yep, one.
I think
one
so. Yeah.
Well, the first hit, I guess, I will say, I think it's kind of weird that he did them in reverse order. Like, I feel like when you're making a list, you would know what your first one is. Like, your debate is going to be on 4 and 5 if you're making your own list here. So I think it's kind of weird he started with 5. But from a storyteller, it makes sense.
It's
but.
A countdown. People love things ranked. Rank right. anything, people will be clicking all
we
over.
We never rank
it.
But he's writing it. He's writing it. It's just weird. But anyway, so number 5 was when he heard his song on the radio for the first time. And to me, when we saw this greatest hit, we didn't realize that we were going to be just seeing a bunch of different moments. So it kind of seemed like this was going to be its own story. And we mm-hmm. see that it just ends up being the first time, you know, we've certainly seen Charlie in around that time period before where, you know, they're having doubts about the band. But it was kind of fun to see a lighthearted good moment for the band. I mean, we've seen the band has had a lot of troubles, but this is one of their good moments where they're all just happy and thrilled that they got to hear their song. That was just kind of a fun moment, I thought.
Yeah, I think this is cool. I think this is one of the better of his memories. I'm not trying to crap on the flashbacks. I think that they're like all kind of cute or like kind of cool little heartfelt moments of his life. We don't, they're like what you were saying, Stephen, there's not like a huge through line of all these flashbacks connecting to one story like they usually do, but they're all to reflect the character that reflect who Charlie is. And so this is obviously an important moment in his life, this hearing his and he's like ready to quit the band, and then they hear the song on the radio. It's pouring rain. It's a cool, I like this one probably the best of all of them.
Yeah, I really like this one too. I think this is my favorite one. Out of his greatest hits, so I'm down with that. His next greatest hit was what? His dad teach him how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the whole Charlie can he or can't he swim narrative, I feel like has been going on for a long time, all the way back to season one when he said he couldn't swim, and here, you know, we don't know if he's telling the truth on island if he's swimming or not. But it's kind of a fun, because it's been kind of an ongoing thing, the fact that we get a scene about it was kind of cool.
This is their definitive answer to be like, yes, he knows how to swim. It's very important for this finale episode.
I just think this was one of the weakest ones out of all of them, to be honest. I think yeah. this would have been at the bottom. I mean, I understand there was the whole thing about being brave and trusting dad. I just feel like this one, though, was one of the weakest ones.
Well, and it's kind of just generic, like, hey, here's a moment with my dad, which is, you know, probably like a realistic thing in someone's life. However, we've never gotten anything as far as stuff about his parents, so we don't really know anything about them.
I was trying to remember, is this the same actor who, I think when we saw him before, was, I don't know if it was a dream, or, but he was like dressed up as a meat cutter chopping an animal. Was it? I couldn't remember.
Sure.
I assume it probably was the same actor. I would hope they got the same guy.
Was that, was his dad in that dream sequence? I don't remember.
I think it was, because I remember he had a hatchet or something. He was hacking up a.
Yeah, I tried to block that one out.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, we probably agree this is like the weaker one, but
yeah,
they're like, oh yeah, hey, remember Charlie knows how to swim. He's gonna swim really deep underwater later in this episode.
I think the next weakest one, in my opinion, was the next one as well, which would have been I mean, I think it's a little better than a swimming one, was when they realized that the Dexter Stratton grandfather ring stays in the family. It has to stay in the family. I understand the meaning of it, but for us as an audience, I don't think it was really as powerful one.
See, I really like this one. Yeah, like I like this because we see the ring on the island. I feel this one ties into what we're seeing more than anything. And also just it really to me was pretty moving because we know how his brother ends up and how he ends up. You know, we learned they kind of switch places after after his brother kind of gets him into drugs. And you know, it's kind of sad in hindsight, but I thought this was a pretty powerful moment. I mean, I don't know that your brother deciding he's probably going to die young and giving you his ring should be in your greatest moments, but I did think it was fairly powerful as an audience.
I like what you're saying, Steve. The part that I think is interesting is how, because we already know the end, we know how it ends as far as the two brothers, how where it goes. We know that the Liam gets his crap together, becomes a dad, has kids, would pass the ring down. But at the time, the roles were reversed, and Charlie was not, didn't seem like his life was going to go the way it did.
In hindsight, Liam probably should have asked for that ring back the last time Charlie came to visit him in Australia.
Yeah, the thing that I do think it's touching. The thing that I always kind of have in my head when I watch this, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was supposed to just mean drive shaft. It doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't look like a ring that's been passed down. I mean, it looks like a ring that was made in the, you know, 80s or something. And so I can't help but think of that. But I think it's passable to, like, it's believable. Like, okay, yes, yeah, it's Dexter Stratton, I guess. But like, yeah, it's kind of rewriting history. But
right,
they sell it in a good way. They're like, hey, that's what we named the band after. We named it after those initials. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
Right. All right. So number three, kind of one of the top three moments, I think, if we're talking about them, would be the moment that Nadia called him a hero.
I think that was actually number two.
Number two.
I really like this moment, but I will say that was like the worst burglar ever. Like he had no weapon. He was just kind of hunched over. Apparently she saw three people walk by. It took him that long to pry her purse away. Like just the worst, you know,
I mean,
worst thief ever.
Well, people don't help. That's why it's, you know, it's easy to get away with it.
But other than that, I thought it was a really good moment. I love the fact that they used Nadia. You know, you didn't expect Nadia to be the one getting
in an alley. No. It's a cool tie-in to have Nadia put in there. And I do think it's a cool moment that he's perceived, he's told he's a hero. I always kind of watch this and I'm like, that's one of your best moments of your life, just like a random stranger. To me, it kind of makes it seem like Charlie did have kind of a sad life in a lot of regards.
I don't know. I mean, saving somebody. Here. I mean, that's kind of a good hero moment. I say that, you know. I've never done anything that cool. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure like one of my greatest moments would have been puking on the copier. I'm just saying. So, all right, guys. So what was the final one? The number one hit in Charlie's list. What was it?
Well, of course, the night he met Claire.
Oh, we knew that was coming.
Very touching.
It's kind of nice because we've never actually seen that, right? This was like just a new thing. Did we see part of that, or was it completely a new
thing? I just think they kind of like re-edited old shots.
No, I think this is new because
I feel like the conversation was new.
Well,
or it was different. I think maybe you're right, Mike. I think it's slightly similar, but like
because remember they did this with Nikki and Paolo episode 2 in Exposé, where they showed Nikki and Paolo at the crash too, but all they said they did is they took the original footage and re-edited it onto a green screen with them to make it appear as if they were there, but re-edited the footage instead of having to go back and put everything back to where it was, the plane and the wreckage and that kind of thing.
I think actually they did bring a lot of that wreckage back in. I think that was
I'm pretty sure. You think so for this one?
No, not well. I think they did it for the Nikki Paolo episode. I think they brought some of that stuff back.
No,
but I'm pretty sure that was like part of the story of that episode being really expensive to shoot. They brought in a lot of.
All right.
Dead serious. I'm sorry. Right, I don't mean to be argumentative.
No. Hang on. Let me pull it up.
I thought I read that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me pull it up so I can prove Corey wrong while we're moving on.
While Mike searches, I will say that I do think that was told a good story here.
I found it right here. All right. The scene set after the crash mixes actual scenes and unused footage of the pilot episode along with new footage shot in the original location. Since not all the pieces of the wreckage were found, a few were added with green screen effects.
All right, so it sounds like we're both right. they shot it in the original. You said they shot it all on green screen. They shot it in the original location.
No, I did not say some that. Pieces. I said that they used some of them, and then they shot some of the footage on green screen. Oh, it's all right.
Someone review the tape. Someone rewind.
Hey, we can't.
Whoever you're listening.
Podcast. So we'll just take. We'll just take a win then. How about that?
But I think I think that it was something similar, whatever, for the scene. I don't remember the exact details, but they probably did something where they.
Oh yeah.
I just have these like
they were going to drag everything back to the beach, like they were not going to drag all that stuff back.
Well, excuse me, I'm having memories of watching special features over 15 years ago. I'm trying to go into the depths of my memory when I was a teenager.
No.
But I do think that. They did shoot some of this Charlie and Claire. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but whatever. I know that there was something. Whatever the final scene that the two actors shot together, I think was kind of an emotional sequence.
Oh, yeah.
So, because it was one of the scenes in this episode was the last scene they ever shot together.
Yeah. All right.
So I said to me that the way they bookended this story in around these moments, I thought they did a really good job. It to me, it told a real emotional story. Ending with Claire kind of right as he was going out to make his big sacrifice. Obviously, yeah, he doesn't die this episode, but that's what he's going to do. And I know I personally didn't probably at the time, I didn't really expect him to die, but going back and watching this now, this was a pretty good end for this character.
Yeah, I agree.
One thing I like too about Charlie, the actor, is he's just quirky about it. So like the way he wrote, like I thought he makes an interesting character, just like the way he writes kind of weird in all caps with his hand curled and writes on his finger. I think Dominic Monaghan did a great job of just creating a character here. And I thought he did a great job this episode.
Yeah, they really give Charlie, a moment to shine to go out. Because he's going to go, he's going to have plenty of time in the finale to do some heroics. But this is really his goodbye to a bunch of the other characters and most of the characters besides Desmond. Should we just start go to the beginning of the episode for a very emotional, important Charlie episode? We start with Carl, right?
Carl.
It's like a random what does it start with, him just like getting in the boat or no or
yeah, I think he's just pushing off I think it kind of starts where he's just pushing the boat out into the water. Yeah, kind of a weird way to start there. But
I do like, I'm kind of jumping ahead here for a second, relating to the greatest hits, though. I totally had forgotten about this. I do like that Naomi brings up that back in, the real world in the UK, after he died, they released a greatest hits of Drive Shaft, after his death, and it, blew up and it was this big thing, their greatest hits album. So it's kind of this cool, that's the tie-in to him actually doing the greatest hits, which I don't know, I forgot about that, but
no, I absolutely love that scene. I thought I couldn't help thinking that, Charlie at season one when he thought they were going to get rescued, and he basically, Charlie was right. He thought that if he would have disappeared, that he could have a big comeback. People would have talked about him, thought he died, and that would could really help the band get back on. And he was completely right. I mean, everything she's saying, that everything he thought would happen kind of happened. So I thought that was cool. And, you know, I think kind of when he did go and die, he knew that people cared about him.
Speaking of people going, but yes. Not dying.
All right, listen, Steven and Corey are going to finish the episode, guys, and ladies listening. Unfortunately, real life calls, family needs, family emergency, family needs me. So I'm going to bolt out, but Corey and Steven are going to finish. So listen to the rest of the episode. I look forward to listening to it as well. By the way, I do give this episode an 18 out of 23. That's just my thoughts on this episode. It'd be a good episode. I will say I do appreciate Jack being stood up to against Saeed. Thank you, Saeed, for standing up to Jack. Although I know Corey's going to retort that here just a little bit. And everybody makes wants to make decisions. Now when I do, boom, everybody hates it. I just made one. So anyways, thank you, Saeed. Love y'all. Appreciate you guys. I will see you next time, Corey and Steven. Take it away.
All right. All right. Bye, Mike.
Have a good one, Mike.
He doesn't know. I actually agree with Saeed in this situation, but okay. Yeah, he's going to change Aaron's diaper. No. But so now it's just Steven and I. Where were we?
All right. So yeah, just a conversation with Naomi and Charlie. I just thought that was a nice scene, and I'm glad Charlie knew that people still cared about his music.
Yeah, and he's excited that there's another Brit. Yeah. We'll get into more Naomi next season, but they had to, you know, like, oh, crap, we're getting rid of, you know, one Brit. We got to bring in another, even it out.
Yeah.
And then eventually bring Charlotte. They always have to have one person from the UK, at least, or from the English person on there. So, but to kind of get into what Mike was referencing there a little bit, some of the Jack stuff, too, because there's a... I do think the way this episode is formed, like it is setting up for the next episode, but it feels like stuff is moving. There's like a really good pace to it. You get this really interesting beginning with the dynamite. He blows. I love that Jack's just like, I'm going to waste some of the dynamite just to like make a presentation. Why not?
Yeah, that I thought that too. Yeah, kind of a waste of dynamite, and also really kind of drawing attention to the fact that you have dynamite. You know, if you're trying to surprise them, I mean, granted, we know they're far away, but he doesn't know they don't have anyone that could hear a dynamite explosion. It seems like it's not really keeping your plan a secret. He could have just told them without showing. Normally, you want to show, not tell, but in this time, he should have just told.
He really should have, but Jack's like, well, like. This is going to make great TV. I have to plus.
I mean, I did think it was funny, too, that we kind of see, you know, we saw Danielle a couple episodes ago in the brig getting dynamite. We didn't really know what was going on. So then we kind of get an answer to that. This is what she was doing. She was on a mission for Jack.
Yeah, I like that they tie that back in. You're like, oh, okay, that wasn't just randomly getting dynamite. This was, hey, set that up several episodes ago, so...
I will say this is the second time they've gone to get dynamite and have yet to use Saeed for this project. It seems like Saeed would be somebody I would talk to if I wanted to go get dynamite.
Yeah, definitely. So this is, he gives his speech and stuff. And be honest, Steven, I'm kind of going off your notes here because when I watched this, I was in the airport and I wasn't doing notes. But I believe... He's going through the whole plan. They're like, all right, they're going to come. We're going to mark the tents with white rocks and we're going to kill them, blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, figure out that through Juliet and Kate and everybody talking and stuff that they need to go to, and Saeed, got to give him credit, go to the radio tower, turn off her message and call the freighter. And then Juliet tells them, all right, well, you actually were jamming. We're jamming the signal. So you got to go to this underwater station. I don't know where it is, but it's called the Looking Glass. I have to say, got to give a special shout out to Jay and Jack, because which we all three have listened to, the Lost podcast. That was Jack's most famous crackpot theory, was that there's an underwater Dharma station. And then, you know, this was the episode where it was finally confirmed. So if you were a fan of Jay and Jack back in the day, which is actually how the three of us got linked together, was through one of their message board groups or whatever. So it's kind of funny. I always think of that, of them when I see this episode. He's like, oh yeah, like,
yeah. It's great when a theory a theory gets proven true. You gotta love
it. Yeah. And then I think Jay would be like, oh yeah, what about your 100 wrong theories, Jay?
details.
Details. But yeah, so what is it? It doesn't Charlie, you know, Desmond gives him a weird look, and Charlie is like, wait, is it another Flash? And he's like, no, you're good.
While they're walking out to the dynamite, Desmond has the Flash and kind of doesn't, and, you know, tells Charlie it's nothing, but then later kind of comes back and talks to him about it. Charlie can tell something's going on as Desmond's kind of watching him. And, you know, then Desmond tells him, you know, he sees Claire getting rescued, and Charlie's so excited, and then is soon, you know, given a dose of reality that, nope, you're actually going to have to die. So, you know, not what you ever want to hear. I mean, Charlie's heard it a few times here lately, so he's probably getting used to it, but that was kind of a brutal scene there.
Yeah, and it's pretty emotional, but I also think they do a really good job of, in a satisfying way, bringing this storyline to, a dramatic head, because the whole the visions and Desmond and Charlie, and you think you're kind of out, okay, you know, he's made it out, and then it's like, oh, there's a blinking light, and then of course you find out, you know, you're gonna I don't think it's announced to everybody in that group setting. I think it's brought up a little bit later. They're looking at plans, or I don't know, whatever the heck. Saeed has something all right, somebody's got to swim down there, and Charlie doesn't hesitate to volunteer. So, you know, it's kind of it's sad watching him even decide to go do that, because nobody else knows, but he knows, and we know that he's marching towards his own death.
Yeah. Him and Desmond definitely have the knowledge that the rest of the group doesn't, and yeah, it's kind of tough seeing him grapple with that. I know I found it hard to watch him talk to Claire. You know, he's sitting there promising Claire, I'm going to keep you and Aaron safe, knowing he's planning on going off and doing this thing, which, you know, in his mind, he's rescuing the, you know, he's doing it for them so they can get rescued. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, knowing that he's probably going to die is, you know, just it's rough to watch. I mean, he does a great job with it. But you really can feel the emotion in that scene when he's talking to Claire.
Yeah. Tough to see him make some goodbyes. And knowing what he's going towards.
The other goodbye that always gets me is, of course, the Hurley one.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the scene starts off with, yet again, just poor Hurley getting called fat again. I mean, it just, the poor guy. But then Charlie comes up and gives him a big hug. And, you know, Hurley, you know, you can tell, you know, Charlie's going to be really sad to, you know, to leave Hurley behind. And, you know, Hurley doesn't know anything about that. So he's like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever. But I did love the fact that he, you know, chased him down, gave him a big hug, and, you know, told him, remember that I love you. Thought that was just a great, great buddy moment between, you know, really one of the best friendships on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I get emotional just thinking about it. It gives you, it's like a goosebump scene. And, you know, you feel bad because, and he's telling Hurley off at first because he doesn't want Hurley to be there. Because Hurley will, I mean, if Hurley knew what they were doing, Hurley would not let it, you know, he would try to stop him. And you know how much harder it would be with your closest, one of your closest friends to swim down to your death. So he's like, you know, it's like he's trying to say something to save him or to keep him away. But then, you know, he's like, I can't, that can't be the end of my friendship with this guy. This can't be the way I say goodbye. And kind of knowing how Hurley's going to be affected too by Charlie's death and like what happens in the season 4 premiere, I just think it makes it even, you know, more sad because Hurley doesn't know that he's saying goodbye.
Oh yeah. In this show, that to me, one of the most emotional moments of the whole show was when they, you know, when both Hurley and Claire find out what happened to Charlie, and that was just brutal. Yeah. So we got that to look forward to.
I always think about the cannonball moment too.
Yeah.
Which is season four, episode 1 of season 4, I think. So, yeah, I mean, all that stuff is tough. I think that Dominic Monaghan does a great job of with his performance in his goodbyes and all the stuff. The other thing...
There is one thing in all the goodbyes. This has always bothered me. It bothered me again. The fact that Charlie just leaves that ring. I mean, it's sweet. It's a great visual, him walking away with the ring and the thing. But if this ring meant what it meant to you and your family, you can't just, knowing that they're going to be abandoning the place anyway, you've got to make sure, if you think you're going to die, obviously you don't want to tell Claire you're going to die, but you have to make sure that she knows to hold on to this ring for Aaron, because Aaron's a baby. He's not going to hold on to this ring. He should have said something. I know why, and I know it makes it emotional that he didn't, but just practically, it just drove me crazy that they left that ring in the crib there.
Yeah, and also, it's like a choking hazard. You kill the baby by giving him a ring.
Yeah, let mom hold on to it until he grows up, gets a little bit older.
Yeah, I mean, he should have given it. I don't think it would have had the visual, you know, emotional moment. But realistically, you know, give the ring to Desmond to give, you know, that's what he should be doing. I would say that the ring does make a few good appearances. Like there's a couple, you see that it's left there. And then I think in season 6, you know, you see that it's still there, something like that. So, yeah, it does show up a few times, but it's not. It does. I don't think it ever ends up with Aaron, does it? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think Aaron's off the island at that point.
Yeah. But yeah, that one, you know, the goodbye to Claire, definitely sad. I guess outside of Charlie for a moment, we do get the moment of Carl. You know, it's teased at the beginning of the episode, and then you get Carl. I think it's the only other like non-island thing we have in the episode is like that little scene of Carl with the others, right?
But yeah, it was kind of weird. It was like a flashback, a short flashback, just showing, you know, basically, what's her name? Alex going to tell Carl what's going on and telling him he has to go. It was a good scene. It was kind of odd, the placement, but it was kind of good. So, you know, remind him, you know, hey, these guys helped you. You have to go help them.
And he's like living out in a cave or whatever. Yeah. So I like, it was a good moment for Alex. Like a lot of times these penultimate episodes, like kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning, they are visiting. It's like every character is getting a little bit. And so that sometimes they feel a little stretched. This episode mainly stays focused on our beach folks, but I actually do like this one little part they add in to give us the, you know, impending doom that they changed the plan. And that Ben is coming and he's pissed. He's like, kill whoever, whatever. I don't care. You know, take all the women if you have to, if you don't know, if she doesn't mark the tents. So it really sets up for what is going to be an intense showdown in the next episode.
And I said that to me, the moment with Carl showing up and telling him, you know, why are you still here? They're coming right now. It was such a good, just, as I said, they cut the commercial. It was just a great suspense builder. And it reminded me a lot of the season one. I think it was the penultimate episode of season one when Danielle shows up and tells them that the others are coming. You know, like, it just really brought me back to that moment where Danielle kind of shows up and just sends ripples through the camp and just changes the trajectory of everything they're doing. They're trying to get all this wire together, and it's like, oh no, you don't have time to do this. Everything moves up the timeline.
That's true. It is kind of a throwback reference to that first season finale. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, because Mike definitely wanted us to bring it up. The Saeed Jack discussion, you know, because Saeed, you know, is going to shoot, be one of the shooters, and it seems like Jack is planning to be one of them too. And Saeed's like, no, dude, you're the leader. You need to lead. You need to take them to the tower.
I thought that was a great conversation, but it kind of is a dilemma in that Saeed is the best person to stay behind to execute the plan, but he's also the best person to take him to the tower. He's the communication guy who's going to make the walkie work, but he's also the best person to leave behind to shoot the tents and kill the others. So it's like, he's so capable, he would be the best person for either job.
That's true. But
he needs Jack to do something. Yeah, Jack is the leader, so I think Saeed made the right call there, I would say. I would think that in case of technical difficulties, you would like to have Saeed there at the radio tower.
I mean, luckily, I think they just have to flip a switch or something. But but yeah, in case they do need something technical, but they need him. They need his action abilities, his neck snapping abilities.
Yeah, so he's the best person for both jobs for sure.
Yeah. And he recruits a couple shooters who are going to do okay.
Yeah, Bernard kind of recruits himself here. I love Rosen Bernard. Yeah. Like, the fact that this is the first time we saw him in season three, like, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But, man, the show is just better with those two on it. And it kind of gives you that finale feel. Like, hey, Rosen Bernard are here. We're part of a journey and the finale. You know, that's... Rose and Bernard are always there, but I love that scene with, you know, Bernard showing off, and then Rose just when Jack, you know, tells her she can't stay, and she says, "Would you, you know, can you promise me nothing's gonna happen to my husband?" And you know, he says, he's like, "I can promise you, if we don't get to that radio tower, it doesn't matter." And I love Rose's, "I like you better now that you're back. You're almost an optimist." the Rose and Jack dynamic has always cracked me up. And
it's important. It's been there since the beginning, the first episode. And it's good to have them around. Like, I get that you can't have them in every episode. They're probably, you know, expensive actors, I guess, or something. I don't know why they don't have
I think they're just busy actors, and they could only get them every so often.
Yeah, if they're not in a series regular, I mean, you got to fly these people to Hawaii, and they have to be available to make, you know, trips, and then. But it is a shame that this is the first appearance they've had all season. I mean, come on, but it's good that he. I mean, at least Bernard and Rose are going to have a good role to play in the finale too. So they get this episode in the finale. They get a lot of screen time there. So yeah, Bernard is one of them. And then Jin is the other shooter who he kind of gets screwed because he's going to use the pistol, which is just so much harder to shoot. You know, you can give Jin flack in the next episode for missing a shot, but they make it look easy on TV. I've shot handguns a couple times before. That's hard. It's really hard to do.
I mean, I guess just from what we know about Jin, he probably is a, you know, henchman for the mob. You know, he's probably used to carrying that kind of gun more than a rifle. Mm-hmm, you know, he doesn't seem like he would have had any training as a sharpshooter. I think he's probably just used guns for intimidation, probably. So maybe he was just more... They needed someone who was more comfortable using that, and Bernard was obviously more comfortable with a hunting rifle.
Yeah, and we're going to get this whole story of, you know, these guys with the with their wives or their or in Charlie's case, not his wife, but these three couples where they're all three separated, and Jen and, you know, Bernard and Charlie are all like, hey, you know, I'm trying to save you all. I'm trying to protect you all and do, you know, my part here. And Jen or Son and I mean, none of them are all three of the women are not happy about this. It's like, yeah, I don't want my man to be put in danger like this. And Jen is like, no, I'm doing this to, you know, I don't remember exactly what he says, but make a point that they're trying to protect them. It's like, we all have to do this. Everything has to happen at once. Charlie has to do his part. These guys have to do their part. We have to do our part, getting to the tower and flipping the switch and all that stuff. So this is a really good setup for the finale.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I forget, did Jen know at this point about, I know he just found out Son was pregnant and the baby was okay, but did he know about her needing to get off the island because of what happens to pregnant women, or not?
I do think they have that conversation in this episode, or I can't remember, because in the previous episode, the Ben one is when they play the tape and he overhears Son's name a couple times, Juliet, you know, talking about taking her. And so, and then there's a conversation where I would have thought that Jen understood enough to kind of put it together. But then they have a scene, and it's seemingly like hours later, if not the next day. And he's like, hey, didn't they say something about your name on that tape?
I feel like
you didn't translate it. I was like, surprised she didn't translate it immediately for him.
Yeah, it seems like he was waiting for her to, like, he knew they were talking about her, and he was kind of waiting for her to come to him and tell him what happened, and it just hadn't happened. Mm-hmm. So he finally had to kind of bring it up on his own.
That makes sense.
But it was a nice moment too, you know, seeing that him find out that, and he was happy. And I mean, that was a night. They don't have a lot of nice moments, but that was a good moment for them.
Yeah, I feel like this has been a pretty good Son and Jin season. They've had some. This is where they really, you know, they're like in love. You know, I don't know if I want to say the most, but like their bond. There's a lot less lying going on, so they're able to flourish more as a couple. And she's pregnant. You know, that adds a big part to it too. So, yeah, I just think this episode has so much going for it in setting up. I mean, a lot of times setup, I said, is not always as exciting, but there's a lot of stakes to it between Claire, you know, trying to get Claire off the island with Aaron, you know, the vision from Desmond, Charlie's going to die. Son needs to get off the island or she and the baby will die. And then all these people that are put in danger for, you know, what they're trying to accomplish, does a really good job of making everything, you know, bringing the intensity. And it's not, and you also feel like, holy crap, like what's happening with this show? Like they could get off the island. Like there's could be big changes to the status quo of the way they operate. So,
yeah, absolutely. When you were talking about the couples on the show, I did have one question when I was watching it, and I was trying to remember when Charlie and Claire share a kiss before he leaves. Was that the first, like, I know they kind of had reconciled after everything that happened in season two, but are we to be led to believe, like, that this was the first time they'd kissed since they'd kind of had their falling out? Because I kind of got that impression that that's what they were saying here. But I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like it shouldn't have been, considering they've been pretty good for a while now. But they kind of made that seem like, I don't know, somehow maybe that Charlie was surprised that she kissed him again and she hadn't for a while. So I could be wrong in how I read that, but that's kind of what I was getting.
I know what you mean, though. It was portrayed in a way that was different. And they don't really do as many like kissing scenes with Charlie and Claire for whatever reason, you know, with Sawyer and, you know, Kate and whoever, and Sawyer and
everyone.
It's like extreme close-ups of like the tongue going in, and I'm like, do I need that much?
Yeah, sure. The Charlie and Claire relationship's a little more wholesome.
Yeah, it's like they're afraid to show them kiss. So it's okay to show them kiss, you know.
Don't want to show the drug addict in that kind of situation. Come on now.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the boat or the Desmond and Charlie going out?
Yeah.
Anything else before that?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered all the goodbyes. My favorite line in the episode, though, was when Carl came and was telling, you know, basically telling the whole camp what was happening. And, you know, was it Jack said that why should they trust him? And he's like, why would you trust me? You're trusting her, pointing to Juliet and said, she's a spy. And I love Juliet. He's like, they know Carl, but thanks. Totally threw her under the bus. And I just, for some reason, that just cracked me up. Great, great delivery there by Juliet.
Yeah, she has a good delivery on certain things. She can be pretty funny at times. That's that dry kind of delivery.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks. Yeah. I do like what was it that like Saeed tackles him, but then Sawyer vouches for him. They had their bro moment together. So Charlie and Desmond row out into the ocean, and they get out there. What he tells them, he's still riding the greatest hits. You know, we're flashing back and forth, and he asks him what he's riding, and he tells him, you know, this is my the greatest moments of my pathetic life, or something like that. And it's really touching because it's like a man who's able to reflect, but also be at peace in a way. I don't know. I just like kind of can relate to like, nobody has like the life they think they're going to have most, but are you able to be at peace and do something for other people, you know, and make a sacrifice. So it's, I mean, they really, the whole Charlie season 3 storyline goes all into the feels, right? You know, it's emotional all the time.
Yeah, that boat scene was just a roller coaster of emotions for sure. I mean, yeah, be sad, and then you're thinking, okay, Desmond's going to save him somehow, and then, oh, man, Charlie just hit him over the head. What's happening? Oh, okay, this is why. He knows he has to do it. Oh, Charlie is going to die. You know, it's like, so that was just, it's really a roller coaster of emotions and back and forth. I mean, I love Desmond's thing. Once Charlie tells him and gives him the list, he's like, I can't let this guy go out this way. You know, he's got Claire and the baby back there. He was willing to take his place. You know, would it have worked? We'll never know. But the whole boat scene was very emotional.
Yeah. And I love Desmond. He's a stand up guy. He's going to go down there and take his place. And he says, you know, whatever, screw fate. We don't need to. Which I think is also kind of an important moment that Desmond is willing to do that and to take a chance. And then, of course, Charlie, good switcheroo there. Hit him with the oar and go down. Just super great cliffhanger, too. He gets in there and there's people in there, right? And they, I don't remember exactly what happens, but gunpoint, right?
Yeah, he pops up. I mean, I guess his thought when they were going down there is that the place was flooded and he just had to find that switch. I mean, I don't think he expected to get air down there. And then he pops up and is like, he's so happy for a brief second that, hey, maybe I'm not going to drown here. Maybe I can survive this. And, you know, before the two ladies come out and point guns at him. But man, this show knows how to leave on a good cliffhanger. I mean, and you know, obviously one of the actresses, such a small part, you know, the, what's her name? She plays Regina on Once Upon a Time, Lana Parrilla. She's a pretty big actress now, but just thinking here, she's in this very small part is going to be in just, you know, this kind of, I guess she has a name. I forget her name.
Is she the darker haired?
She's the dark haired.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. She's very famous now, but back then I guess she was just a, you know, a guest actor on this show.
But hey, I mean, this show was the small role on this is still a lot of FaceTime. I mean, you got, you know, 15 plus billion people watching you weekly. It's not like TV today where even the biggest shows might be 10 million at the most. Great setup for the finale. I think it's funny. I think a lot of people, I remembered when I was watching this time, but certain times I would watch this and forget that Charlie, you forget where it leaves off. You're like, oh yeah, they're going to be down. They're going to be doing stuff in there for, you know, cause Desmond will come down and there's a whole nother 2-part episode of before they actually stop the jamming thing. So, all right, should we move into the ending discussion here, or the rating?
Yeah, I think we've covered it.
All right, so we rate our episodes between 1 and 23, just like Hurley's numbers, and because of one of Hurley's numbers. And this episode, we're going to rate this between 1 and 23 explosive presentations. I think Jack would have gotten like an A+ if he was given that presentation in college.
Excellent use of visuals.
Yeah. So Mike told us before he left that he gives this a 18 out of 23. So we know that. Steven, what about you?
I'm quite a bit higher. I really like this episode more than I remembered liking it. The flashbacks weren't my favorite part of the episode, but based on everything, I give this one a 22 out of 23. I was surprised how much I like this episode.
It's a very feel good episode. And I think that especially when you're in a full watch through of the show and you've been watching Charlie and you love the character, seeing him say goodbye, I mean, it's tough. So it is, it's sad. I was struggling between 20, 21, but I'm going to stick with my first number. I'm going to give this a 20 out of 23 explosive presentations. Really good episode. You know, nothing really to knock it. It's emotional. You know, it's sad. Even though there's nothing really sad that happens in it. It's just emotional thinking about what's going to happen next. Knowing
where it's going. I didn't think Charlie was going to die. I really didn't.
Yeah, he was the biggest. I mean, Boone died, but Charlie
is the first. Yeah.
One of the biggest characters from the get-go.
And at the moment, Locke is still presumed dead in a ditch. So yeah. As two of the biggest stars on the show in peril.
We've been saying it, but this is a hot streak of episodes. Season 3 has its down parts, but then it gets rolling and it has this streak to the end of the season that is just, you know, great episode after great episode. So
hard to believe this is the same season as all the episodes in the cages. Like, it seems like so long ago they were stuck in those bear cages on Hydra Island.
Yeah, it really does. It really switched gears. So, okay. Nothing new on the name dictionary. This is your part. Sorry. Go ahead. Ending discussion.
All right. So we got the unanswered questions section. So why did Desmond have a flash of Claire and Aaron getting into a helicopter if that never ended up happening?
That's a big one.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen more of Desmond's past flashes. I think we do it. We see at some point we actually see his flash, right? Is that next episode? We actually see the flash? I don't know.
I don't know if we do. But it gets discussed. Again, I think in the next, maybe in season 4, maybe in the next episode. I personally, there's a lot of unanswered questions that I just really don't care at all about. Like, I'm just okay, whatever. Like, I'm the type of person that I don't need every answer for Lost. I think some of it is kind of the whole point of the show, is that you don't get all the answers in life. You just have to have faith anyways.
They answered the most important question, which was, what happened to Shannon's inhaler? And really, that's what everybody needed to know. They wrapped that, they gave us that answer before the show was over. So
you could live, die happy after knowing that. But I would actually say that this is probably my biggest unanswered question of the entire series, in my opinion, because it, and like I said, it doesn't bother me that much, but this whole idea of Claire and Aaron getting in the helicopter, and then it just never really, it never gets addressed. And I think it also leads into the eventual storyline of Claire, of like Claire, you know, becoming crazy Claire and Aaron, and then Aaron maybe doesn't live up to like being what he's supposed to be, super special or something. I don't know. I just feel like this is kind of one of those unanswered questions where I wish they addressed. And I wish, I mean, sometimes you could just have a character give a throwaway line, like Desmond says some random thing that's like, okay, whatever. A lot of people, their theory is that Desmond made this up and that it wasn't actually a flash, that he didn't actually see them get on a helicopter, but we'll never know.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, they get off on a plane, so I guess it doesn't matter that much. But I guess Claire gets off by herself on a plane. Aaron's still back there, so yeah.
Man, talking about Claire, though, remembering where she ends up, it's just so sad. You know, they said the heart of this show was this Claire, Charlie, Aaron little family unit. It was kind of like the heart of the show, and this is it for them. You know, after this, you know, Charlie's gone and Claire goes a different direction. So it's, I guess we get a little bit more of her next season. But it's sad that this was the end of, you know, Claire and Charlie.
In kind of related to the Rose and Bernard thing, they start adding a lot more characters. I don't know the reasoning. You just have less time. There's going to be less episodes. You know, these actors probably get increasingly more expensive per episode two. And the show, we know, starts to get, you know, less view. It still has a lot of viewers, but starts to get less, you know, slowly after season two. It starts to slowly decline. You just have a lot of people that are just cut out. They're like, yeah, we're not going to see that character for 10 episodes or whatever. Claire goes missing. She's out of a whole season. And there's probably a lot of reasons why. Usually the writers say, well, we just didn't have anything else we wanted to explore with that character for the time being. But so that starts to happen a lot more. Whereas, you know, with season one and two, you get most characters are in most episodes. So it's a change of the way the show works. And absolutely, the show gets more and more into the sci-fi realm. And so we get a lot of these cool characters like Daniel and all this other stuff. It takes a lot of plot, takes a lot of time. So you like, Claire, sorry, Claire, we're going to focus on sci-fi stuff. And, yeah, you know,
no,
you,
no more time for imaginary peanut butter sandwiches for you.
Unfortunately, yeah.
All right. Well, as you said, we had no additions to Sawyer's Name Dictionary. Pop culture connections. We got another episode with referencing Alice in Wonderland. With the Looking Glass Station, the name and the symbol, a white rabbit and hole, are a reference to Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There. Two different books for Alice in Wonderland. Charlie performs Oasis's song Wonderwall. We previously saw him singing that in the same location in Flashes Before Your Eyes. The lyrics for the song are, because maybe you're going to be the one that saves me. That could be a reference to Desmond, who up to this point has saved Charlie several times, but cannot completely save him.
Also, really quickly, is it Wonderwall? I mean, Oasis is two brothers, just like Liam and Charlie, British, I think, right? I think I mentioned this before, but when I introduced this Lost a couple of years ago to my friend who loves Oasis, he's a musician, I thought he would love Charlie and love the storyline. He hated them. He's like, that guy is not like a real rocker. It's just like unrealistic. He was like, he just doesn't think he pulls off the rocker character. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I will give him, if he actually listens to the You All Everybody song, I could see why he would feel that way.
Yeah, I guess.
It was great in the show, but I'm not sure how rock and roll it was.
But,
On Wonderwall, I always remember I had a former boss I used to work with, and he was convinced, we had lots of this, he was convinced that Wonderwall was the greatest song ever written. He you could not persuade him off of it. I like Wonderwall. I think it's a great song, but I just wasn't convinced it was the greatest song ever. But Mike Tilden, my former manager, I still remember that conversation of Wonderwall being the best song of all time.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
I agree. I've great heard song.
It so many
great
times, maybe. I don't know.
All right. So Carrie Ann is another pop culture reference. This 1967 song by The Hollies is playing in the background when young Charlie stands near the swimming pool at Buttons and is being persuaded by his father to jump into the pool.
Carrie Ann. Made me think of Carrie Ann Moss, right? From Matrix.
Matrix, yeah.
Thought it was going to be a Matrix reference there. No. Okay, well, that is going to do it for us. Our next episode is going to be the season 3 finale, Through the Looking Glass, parts 1 and 2, a double episode, Jack-centric, with a little twist on the flashbacks, or not flashbacks. And Mike will be back with us. He had to leave early, as you heard. And we're going to have our special guest, Joe, so really looking forward to that. Yeah.
All right.
Very exciting. Thank you guys for listening. Looking forward to wrapping up the season and getting on to season 4 next. So thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Have a good one.